And I ask that you pray for me today. And it's last night Brother Doug was talking about, you know, you got to trust God's providence and what to preach. Well, last night I thought I had everything all ready to preach. This morning I got up, got to looking at my notes, and got to looking at another sermon. And I thought, well, you know, seemingly this is what God's leading. And this morning it's been confirmed. Open up to the book of Genesis in chapter 50. God willing, this morning we're going to be preaching on God's providence practiced practically. Book of Genesis, chapter 15, or chapter 50. Genesis, chapter 50. We're going to look, starting off, at verses 19 and 20. We will give a brief history of what has happened in the life of Joseph. We'll look at some things here. And then at the end, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Joseph and see how he reacted. You know, I look back at my life, and I see so much. Man, like I said last night, my goals and ambitions in life was to be a state trooper, to be a football coach, and to wrestle under a mask. I'm serious. I'm not being funny. I really wanted to do that. That was just something I enjoyed and thought it would be fun. Well, God had other plans. And I can remember every time I wanted to do something, didn't matter what it was, God would shut it down. God might even give me just a little taste. And I'd see in that, man, this is miserable. This isn't what I want. What is going on? And then as life went on, God in His providence would bring me to things. And then I'd see, wow. Man, I'm miserable. What's going on here? But God used those things to teach me. And young people, I want to say this to you today. Right now, I believe the oldest is KJ. You know, man, you look at your life. Everything that has happened in your life has been for God's purpose. And God is going to use that down the road. And I promise you, the events that God has brought in your life, young man, He is going to use it to grow you and to teach you and to help you in your life. But it's not just KJ. Josiah, even at his young age, God's using things to teach him. Same thing with Cece. Same thing with all these other young people here. It's wonderful looking back and seeing how God has used all this stuff. Brother Doug, whenever he was talking at the singles conference a couple months ago, he talked about things in his life providentially. And I can relate. I can remember growing up in Somerset, Kentucky. Like I said, I had my life all planned out. Then when I was 22, God turned it upside down. He called me to preach. I surrendered to the ministry. Man, my plans even then was, well, I'm probably going to be here in Somerset, Kentucky my whole life. That's fine. You know, never dreamt that I'd ever be in California preaching in a revival. Never dreamt that I'd never even heard of Forestdale, Missouri. Man, and here I am again and again. And some of y'all are probably wishing I hadn't have. You know, going to West Virginia. God blessed me to go there. And I look at God's providence in that. He moved me there. And then as He moved me there, I got to know Brother Billy. Then after getting to know Brother Billy, I got to know Brother Clarence Grigsby. And getting to know Brother Clarence Grigsby, I got to know Don Titus. And in knowing Don Titus, I met Tara. And I look at how God had instrumented all that in my life and brought me to Tara. It is just an absolute marvel to me. And in that providence now, I'm back home, got a son, and God's good. But I look at how God used everything in my life to orchestrate that, and it amazes me. But I want you to look with me, please, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, starting in verse 19. Now, actually, let's go back a few verses before this. Starting in verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us or pay us back us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did evil unto thee, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of thy God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Now understand, Joseph had been done dirty, humanly speaking. But you know what? Joseph had the right attitude about all this. And you know, I look back in my ministry and I look back in my life, and I'll be honest with you, there's been times that I have been bitter. And I tell you, I look back with those times of regret, and I've been angry and bitter and just held on to things. And then over a period of time, it seems that God reminds me, listen, yeah, that was bad. Yeah, I understand. But look where you're at now. Look what's happened as a result of that. And then I have to think, Lord, forgive me. Even in those times you were teaching me. Even in those times you were helping me. Even in those times you've brought me through it, and I'm better off in the end. Well, we find here in verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Now he did recognize the fact that they wanted to hurt him. They were not doing this because they thought, well, this is God's providential plan, we're just helping him out. He recognized the fact, listen, yeah, you did it for evil. But notice, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you today and we're so thankful for your love and mercy. God, I pray that you would help us to remember your providence. Help us to remember what all you've brought us through. And God, I ask that you would help me to be mindful of this. God, I pray that you'd help us to have the attitude of Joseph. And help us, Lord, to always be mindful that you are indeed on your throne, ruling and reigning over the affairs of man. Help us, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we need to understand this story, and I'm sure most of us do, and give a little brief history of Joseph, that he was, I believe, the 11th son of Jacob. And he was also the favorite son of Jacob, as evidenced by receiving the coat of many colors. And this is where things get a little tough, if you will, for Joseph. Now, there are some that would theorize, and I would probably agree with this, that Joseph may have been a little cocky. And you know, it probably would have been very easy to be a little cocky. Especially when it comes, you know, here you are, you're the 11th son, but here your dad comes out and he gives you the coat of many colors. He makes it evident that you're the favorite. And you know, I've only got one brother, but I can remember growing up thinking to ourselves, and my brother would say it, and sometimes I'd say it, say, you like him better than me. You like him better than me. And I look back, and really and truly, they didn't. They treated us about the same. I'm sure there were certain aspects of us that they liked a little better than the other one. But the fact of the matter is, they loved us. But Jacob made it pretty clear, you're my favorite. And the older brethren, of course, they got angry and they would get just angry and bitter. And then finally, the dream came, Joseph interpreted it, and basically told him, said, listen, you're going to be my servants. You will bow to me one day. And can you imagine, my brother is 7 years older than me, if I went up to him and I said, Tim, one day, you know, and this is how I would say, you're going to kiss my feet. You know what? He'd said, uh-uh. You ain't big enough to make me. But you know what? The thing is, God even had a plan in that. And here he was. He brought it up and said, listen, this is what's going on. So he interpreted the dream. And then finally, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Now this is going to be very much a summary, but Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verses 18 through 26. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, the dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now, as Brother Doug brought out a while ago, when God gives a prophecy, if you will, it's going to come to pass. And basically, that dream, if you will, was a prophecy of what was going to happen down the road. See, they come face to face with this. Humanistic desires, humanistic works will never trump the providence of God. And see, folks, many times we get this little idea in our head, well, if I'd done this differently or we'd done that differently, then this way. Listen, we understand human responsibility, but at the same time, there must be an accounting for God's providence. Man, I can remember thinking to myself whenever I was in high school, man, if I hadn't got injured this time or hadn't got injured this time, who knows, I might have got a big scholarship. Nah. That wasn't God's will for my life. That isn't His desire. Now, notice also, verse 21, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him in this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery, and balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" In other words, let's sell him. Now again, here they are, they're thinking, hey, we can make merchandise him, we can make some money off him. But again, this is God's providence caring for Joseph. You think about your life. How many times has God delivered you from death? You know, Brother Randy Titus brought up years ago when I was at a conference in West Virginia, just moved there. And he said, you know, and I just got cut off by a car that day, and I'd missed my exit onto Interstate 64, onto the turnpike there in West Virginia from Charleston. And I was still steaming about that and stewing. But he brought it up that day, and I've always looked at this stuff a little different. He said, who knows? Maybe today, he had no idea what was going on or what had happened. He said, maybe that car that cut you off in the interstate kept you from a bad wreck. And you know, I've thought about that since. God knows what's going to happen. And you know what? On the end, it's all good. Well, here, folks, we find Joseph. Certainly to be slayed, and of course, Reuben certainly interfered with that. But here come the Ishmaelites. So he was sold into their hand. Now I want you to look with me in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, 7 through 19. Actually, we'll look at verses 7 through 13 first. Now it says, And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now remember, he had been bought by Potiphar at this time. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house." In other words, has not withheld anything, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. He said, I can do anything I want here. He said, but I will not touch you. So this was a man of character. Even though he had power, even though he had authority, he was not going to abuse that. Now, notice, how then, or excuse me, he hath not kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now notice, he said, yeah, it's a wrong thing for me to do against you because you're a married woman and against my master, but more than that, it's against God. He had the right attitude. Now notice, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened unto her. He wouldn't listen to her, to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in to the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house were within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In other words, he ran. He fled from this wickedness. Now understand, here he is. He's doing right. He is doing what God has commanded him. He is staying away from this woman. But notice what happens. Verses 14 through 19. Verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. You know what? Who can blame him? You know, if I thought for a minute someone was trying to do harm to my wife, they better run. Because if I can catch them, I'm going to hurt them. And you know what? He had an instinct to take care of his wife. So you can't blame him. And most men would take the wife's word for what was said. But again, Joseph had done nothing wrong. But here he was being accused of this and having all these problems. Now, I want you to think about this. How many times would this happen to us? How many times have we had lies on us? I want to ask something from the pulpit. Brother Doug, you ever had lies told on you by preachers? Brother Wayne? Now, what's your first reaction, brethren? You're mad, ain't you? In the flesh, you'd like to get your hands around their scrawny little necks and snap them like a twig. Amen? Let's just be honest. In the flesh. And for a while you get angry. And for a while, man, you just want to hammer them like a roofing nail. But then, God takes over. Now, Troy, that's not the right thing. You know, man, just remember, I will avenge you. I'll take care of you. But you know what? I don't see anger with Joseph. I really don't. And I think to myself, is it because he's Superman? No. He's a man just like we are. But he had the right, proper attitude about the providence of God. Now, notice as we continue on. Now, we find that Joseph is imprisoned. There he is. And again, he's done nothing wrong. Now, verses 1 through 23 basically is this. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things, is chapter 40, that the butler, the king of Egypt, and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward and the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued to season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man his dream in one night. each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Now here he is cheering them up. He said, "What's wrong with you guys?" I can almost imagine him. He had this sunny disposition, like, "It's a beautiful day out. We're alive." And they're probably thinking, "What's wrong with you?" Verse 8, "And they said unto him, 'We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God?'" Even there, he recognized God's providence. "Tell me them, I pray you." "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine that were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand.' And Joseph said unto him," this is the interpretation of it, "'the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler.'" Verse 14. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." He said, "Listen, I've given you the dream interpretation. And listen, whenever you go and you give him this, whenever you're released, remember me. Tell him about me. Help me get out of here. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Now I want you to notice this. Right here you get a glimpse that while he's not angry and bitter at God, he's still thinking, I haven't done anything wrong. You know, that's human nature. But I appreciate the fact that he has had such a good attitude so far. "That they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, 'I also was in my dream. And behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh's, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head.' And Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation. The 3 baskets were 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee.'" Now that's not quite the sunny disposition he was looking for, was it? "And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them." See, Joseph was right. Hadn't done anything wrong. He interpreted the dreams right. But notice verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Just another reason in man's mind to feel bad, to feel sorry for himself. But notice, 41 and verse 1. Now, we're not going to look at all these verses, because there's 57 verses here. Now we're going to kind of hit the highlights. Verse 41, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-devoured kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow." Now kine is a cow. "And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river." Now here he gives the dream about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And of course, when this happens, he tells him about this, and he speaks to the chief butler in verse 9. He says, "Listen." He said, "This is what's going on. This is the dream I had." And the butler said, "Hey, wait a minute. I remember There was a guy that helped me with the dream. Let me bring him. So he brought him up. And again, this is very much a hit and miss little summary here. He brings him. He interprets the dream. He puts him within his kingdom. Puts him over an area. Puts him over a place. Gives him authority. And then one day, Joseph's brethren come. Now you think back to all this. There he was. One day, minded his own business, walking out to his brethren. He's thrown into the pit. He's sold into slavery. He's Potiphar's man, if you will, helping in the house. Then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife makes a false accusation. He's thrown in prison. Then he interprets a dream. The butler forgets about him. And then look where he's at. Now his brethren come along, and we know the story there where he doesn't tell him who he is, and he kind of plays with them a little bit. And then one day, he reveals himself, and they're scared to death. But instead of hurting them, he asks about his dad. He sends back. His dad comes, and there's a great reunion, and there's weeping, and there's rejoicing. And you know, and the brethren, you know, they're thinking to themselves, well, this is great right now, Dad's around, but what's going to happen? Well, you know what? One day, he passes on. One day, those brothers are scared to death. One day, those brothers are faced with reality. We don't have the buffer no more. Man, we're probably in trouble. Then we come back here to Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph, verse 19, said unto them, fear not. This is what I tell you. And this is something we can lean on from this great example. Whenever you're going through trials of providence, whenever you're going through the hard times, what are you going to do? Are you going to be fearful? Are you going to be scared? Or can you look at these things and say, you know what? Fear not, because God and His providence has allowed this to happen. And He's teaching me. He's growing me. I remember several years ago, Brother Burt Kraft. It's right before me and Tara got married. We just started, you know, really considering marriage and so on at this point. And I was out in Lawton, Oklahoma, preaching in Brother Keener's last conference out there. Brother Garner Smith was with me, Brother Clint Keith and another fella. And Brother Burt Kraft was out there. And that's whenever he just went through that mess. From the church up there in New York, they left him for pretty much for dead, down in Mexico. And I was talking to him. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, I was just taken aback. I'm like, Brother Burt, why aren't you angry? They tried to hurt you and your family. Why don't you just go at them with great venom and try to destroy? You know what he told me? And I've never forgotten it. He said, Brother Troy, all I can say is providence. God has allowed this to happen to teach me and to grow me. You know, I can say this. Sometimes I have to be reminded of that. Sometimes I have to be reminded. And I'm telling you, I was telling Brother Cecil and Sister Mary some things last night in my own experience in the ministry. And I said, and if I think on it too much, I said, the redneck starts coming out. And I want to get fired up. And I can feel myself just ready to boil over. But you know what? Thank God. God will bring back providence. Troy, I've taught you some things. You think about how immature and childish you are now. Remember back to when you were that. I used it to grow you, Troy. I used it to teach you things. I used it to teach you to trust me and lean on me more. And you know what, folks? Whenever we're faced with these things, we can say, hey, there's nothing to fear. For am I in the place of God? Am I not where I'm supposed to be? And you know, it's a lot harder to say that when you're going through trials, when you're going through tribulations. And I can remember a few years ago whenever we had to leave our former sending church. And we got cut off pretty quick after I thought it was going to be an amicable split or separation. And I can remember me and Tara sitting there talking, and you know, and let me say this, Tara was very mature in handling this. And she looked at me and said, Troy, what are we going to do? Our house payment is due. And I'd look at her in my pastoral, stoic voice and say, honey, it's okay. God will take care of it. It wasn't quite like that. But I'd say that. But on the inside, I'm going, oh my, what are we going to do? Our house payment is due. What are we going to do? And I can remember looking back and seeing God over and over and over providing for our needs. All I had to do is trust Him. You know, and I look back at that time, I see how God grew us in His grace. Then we come to verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. You wanted to hurt me. So, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know, you just never know what you're going through, how God's going to use that in someone else's life. There's been things that I've had happen, things done, and I've had people come to me and say, I watched how you handled that. I appreciate that. You handled that with maturity. And you know, the whole time you're thinking, you have no clue. Brother Bert Kraft, I sent him a Facebook message the other day. He said, Brother, I want you to know something. He said, what you told me 10 years ago there in Lawton, Oklahoma, I have never forgotten it. And it keeps popping up from time to time. Listen, God's going to use your experiences. He's going to use it for His glory. Verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Have you ever had anyone to do you dirty? And then you have opportunity to try to be a help to them. It's at those times that that Bible verse, kill them with a heap coals of fire upon their head. Basically, kill them with kindness. Remember a few years ago, situation happened, and quite frankly, I was still very angry. I was ready to just... There was a point, if this brother had been across the street on fire, I wouldn't have tried to spit on him to put it out. That's how I felt. And I'm not trying to be mean. And folks, I'm just trying to be real with you today. And there was something happened to that man and his family. And I can remember God tugging on my heart and just saying, what if that was your kid? What would you want someone to do for you? And after I had a period of crying and repentance, I called him up. Last person in the world he ever thought he'd hear from. And we talked for 30 minutes together, crying and praying. Is it still the same as it used to be? Nah. But you know what? God taught me something that day. And what He taught me is this. The best of men are still men at best. And the fact of the matter is, outside of the grace of God, every one of us fail. And what we need to do is we need to have a compassionate spirit. It doesn't mean that necessarily you're best friends with them again. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're calling them up for a barbecue. But it does mean that you remember them kindly. you pray for them. What did Joseph do here? He helped them. Folks, Joseph knew God's providential hand. And I'm going to make you a promise too. If you'll think and you'll keep the mind of Joseph, you'll remember that what God has allowed to happen in your life, it's providence. A couple of months ago, there was a lady. She'd been through a terrible year. Her husband was a pastor. He went nuts. He left her, moved in with another woman, and on the day that their divorce became final, he killed himself. I had to do the funeral. And I watched his ex-wife, and I watched her handle the whole situation with grace. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, she put this thing on Facebook, and it was really and truly very moving. It was about 3 paragraphs long, and as I was reading it, different things popped in my head, and I thought to myself, notice how this lady is just handling this. What a sweet spirit, what peace that is coming through off this page. And I just simply wrote her a word that came to my mind. I said, "Sister, I'm glad this has made you better, not bitter." You know, folks, what we need to remember is this. In the dealings and trials of our life, let not providence make you bitter. Let it make you better. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love and mercy. And God, I pray that You just speak to our hearts. God, thank You for Brother Doug's message and how it touched our heart. God, I pray that if there be one here tonight that's hurting and perhaps having struggles with dealing with providential dealings, God, I pray that You bless them. Help them, Lord, with this. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother Wayne.